Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, Mr. Sampanianovich. How are you?
Very good, Mr. King. How about that Bears game yesterday? Pretty exciting, huh?
Sampanianovich is the betting analyst with New England Sports Network out of Boston, NESN, Nessen. But he was one of our sports guys here at WGN Radio, and I had the pleasure of working with him for years, Saturday mornings, among other times, on WGN. So now he's on. When you turn on TV in Boston at 5:30, they have a sports show, and you're one of the hosts.
Basically, we tell you who to bet on every day.
Every day?
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. You came into town for the Bears game?
I did. And actually, I got off the red line about 15 minutes ago, and I was talking to myself as I was walking up to the studio. I'm not here long. I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time, right? What do I want to eat after I leave here?
Here?
If you haven't been to Chicago in 4 months, yeah, and you're here for a day, you get one thing. Do you get a beef? Do you get a pizza? Yeah. Do I get a cake shake at Portillo's?
Mm.
So many good options, and a lot of the stuff I can't get out in Boston. What would you get?
It's a good question. My quick answer is Geno's, but because that's the pizza that I kind of miss the most when I'm not around. You can order.
It's not the same when they mail it to you in a frozen box.
Well, although a mail order Malnati's is good. A frozen Malnati's in the mail. Have you done that yet out there?
I have. It's okay. Still not the same as when it comes out of the piping oven.
Yeah. I like Carson's right over here.
Carson's. You can't get Carson's in Boston.
Man.
You know what else I can't get in Boston? White Castle. I love White Castle.
I would consider that a favor if I were in Boston. But the ribs, the chicken, just get a chicken. Get the Greek chicken over at Carson's.
You see this, Pete? I ask him for one, and he gives me four things.
So you came all the way out for the Bears game because you thought that was going to be a good game?
Turned out to be a really good game.
I know. I think you got lucky. I think a lot of us were surprised. What was the line on that game, Mr. Wager guy?
Bears covered. They were a 4.5-point underdog, and they lost by three. So they covered. You know how that works, right?
No. But how was it that the smart guys in Vegas knew it was going to be that close?
Because Miami was coming into a game in the elements. It was very windy yesterday, and that played into it. Miami's also a very pass-heavy team, and, you know, when you're throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game, that doesn't always work outside in November, especially in Chicago.
Were there questions about their quarterback, too, and how well he'd respond?
He played well. I mean, two at 300 yards, three touchdowns. I'm looking at the box score right now. But, I mean, to me, the story of the game is that the Bears are fun and exciting again. And they're going to play in a lot of games like this, maybe not in the 30s. But because they've traded away their two best defensive players in the last couple of weeks, they're going to be in roller coasters because they're going to give up points. But now they're letting the quarterback make plays. They've sort of taken the training wheels off of Justin Fields. They didn't want him to throw in the first four games. And now they're like, not only are you going to throw, but we're going to bootleg you. We're going to call designed runs. We're going to let you make plays. And that's what he did yesterday. He broke an NFL record for single season or single game rushing. 178 yards.
Are there other quarterbacks in the NFL that can do what Justin Field did yesterday?
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, that's probably it.
Yeah. And are you optimistic about his ability to improve his passing game?
I am. I think it all comes with time. You know, he wasn't a player in college that faced a lot of adversity because he played with, you know, All-Americans on the offensive line, NFL guys at wide receiver, an NFL running back, and it's like, all right, just have all day to throw and throw to a wide-open guy. But here, he's playing with a team, and I told you this back in September, and you were like, well, I'll give him time. It's not a good team right now. There are good players on this team that you could keep and build, but he's finally learning how to play quarterback in a league where not everybody is good on his squad.
I know you're not based in Chicago anymore, but obviously you follow the NFL very closely. And were there question marks about his viability or his tenure at Chicago from your vantage point at the beginning of the year or even 3 weeks ago?
Fields?
Yeah.
There were critics for sure. I remember watching one of those hot takey shows, you know, on the networks. Well, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. No, he's not. That's just lazy. That's grabbing headlines and look at me, look at me. He is, what is he, 22 years old?
I think he's 23.
Okay.
One or the other.
So he's got so much time to learn this game and grow with this offense. And I think the big key for this whole franchise is to draft well. Because what they have done, they have accumulated three picks next year. So in 2023 in the draft, they go second round, fourth round, fifth round, seventh round. That's a lot of draft capital. And they have $100 million in salary cap space.
So where would they spend the money then if
it's
up to you?
I'd have to look at the books and see exactly where they're at. But, you know, somebody made this comment to me about 3 months ago, and I think there's actually a lot of truth behind it. What this regime is doing, and this is their first year, you know, Ryan Poles and company, they're trying to outlast Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. So let those two go at it for maybe another couple of years, and look at Green Bay. They're not making the playoffs this year. He might retire or whatever, or go off in safari somewhere. And then, you know, Kirk Cousins has a handful of good years left. And then by the time you have built the Bears up, they are ready to control the North. You don't want to be a roulette ball and randomly land on the number. You want to be in the conversation every year, sustain success. And that's what the plan is with the Bears.
So much criticism of the Bears coaching and the Bears managerial decisions that you're referring to over the last year and a half. When we come back, just talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And then maybe the rest of the NFL. Give me your Super Bowl pick. Give me who's going to win the Final Four this year. Give me your Final Four teams.
Oh, my God.
Will the Bulls go far in the playoffs?
I give you all that, and you can't give me one place to eat.
Did you fly in that wind at all, Sam?
I did.
How was that landing?
I slept the whole way.
I'll bet you missed something. I was talking to maybe my wife over the weekend going, can you imagine having to fly in this wind? It was crazy.
It was one of those flights. I'm not always able to do this, but take off, eyes closed, nice. Knocked out, wake up when the wheels land.
Nice.
Perfectly executed.
What's the flight time from Boston?
2 hours and 1 minute, but he was on a mission. He landed in like 32 minutes. It was amazing.
Maybe he wanted to get to the game too.
Uh-huh.
So the Bears and the Dolphins yesterday. Anything else before we leave that you think was noteworthy or telling about the Bears' future?
Well, like I said, they're going to be in a lot of games this year the rest of the way that are going to be fun. You will not turn the games on and watch a 7-6 game anymore because their defense is going to give up a lot of yards and a lot of points, and this offense has shown you that if they let this kid loose, Justin Fields, they're going to score some points. They're going to be fun to watch for the first time in a while. I promise you that.
At the beginning of the season, you said that the over-under for games won was 5.5?
6.5.
6.5. And did I pick the over or the under on?
You were confused.
All right. So is it still 6.5?
I haven't checked the adjusted one. I'm going to guess 5.5. Let me pull that up.
Five. Well, they've already run three, and it looks to me
like they played nine.
Huh?
They played nine. Yeah, they won three, but they've also lost six.
All right, but they play 17 games. Mm-hmm. They've got eight more games to go.
So if you double three, you're at six.
Well, if you're saying of the next eight games, will they win three games? Will they?
It's a good number. I think it's very possible, but I would make it the underdog.
Yeah.
Adjusted total is 5.5 right now.
5.5. All right, so if they win three more games, then they're on the over on that.
I'd be fascinated to know what the number is next year, though. Again, I know fans don't want to hear this, but you're not trying to win this year. That's an organizational plan.
I get that. Do you like the in-game betting where, like, in the third quarter, they now ask you a new question, like, hey, what do you think is going to happen next?
Yeah, so, for example, yesterday, one of the guys I was sitting next to, at the half, it was 17. Bears had 17. Miami had 21. So 21-17.
Yeah.
He live bet the over 58.5.
And they were already at 38.
And it landed on 67. So I think a lot of times, to answer your question, yes, I do it in the right situations, but you can tell, you go watch a game for a couple quarters and be like, all right, they're going to keep going here.
Yeah.
Or you go watch a game that's 9-7 and think, all right, they might not crack 30.
Right.
You know, the pace of the game is usually dictated second quarter-ish.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's fascinating. And the numbers, as you know, they always change. Touchdown, boom, new number.
Last thing about the Bears, then, is you are fairly optimistic, though, about the direction they're going. Everybody was screaming about how the team was managed last year, and even the beginning of this year, when we had some disappointing losses, there was a lot of volume about that. Do you think they're on the right track organizationally?
Absolutely. The GM has a plan. Now, whether that plan works or not is a different, right? It's a different conversation. But I think it's clear that he has gotten rid of the riffraff. He has gotten rid of guys that aren't going to be here or don't want to be here. And he's going to build this thing through the draft. He is not getting rid of the future. He's not mortgaging the future. He is collecting assets for the future. And that's what you want in the NFL.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Kansas City's very good. So is Buffalo. The NFC, man, is wide open. Philly's very good. Dallas is very good, especially on defense.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Buccaneers. They're 4-5 right now. We know Brady, if he gets in, he can ruin somebody's weekend in the playoffs.
Well, we had the trifecta a couple weekends ago. The Bears won one of the games they won. I think it was one of the games they won. And Rodgers and Brady both lost.
Yeah.
So that was like, does it get any better than that?
Yeah, and then he goes home and eats avocado ice cream. It does get worse. That guy hasn't had a carb since 2004.
So talk to me about the NBA. What are you thinking about that this year?
It's fun to see LeBron lose, isn't it?
I'm not a LeBron hater, are you?
Eh. I mean, Jordan's better. We all know that.
I don't even know that I agree with that. Do you like Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's very good. They were injured last year. I mean, Milwaukee, Boston are the clear cuts in the East, and then the West has a lot of good teams. I mean, you know, Golden State's going through it right now, but that happens after a championship sometimes. Phoenix is very good. The Clippers, when healthy, are good. I would like to see Milwaukee go back. That Giannis kid is fun. To be that big and that long and to be able to do the thing. Like, he can grab the rebound, bring it up the floor, shoot a three, or drive to the rim and dunk on you. I mean, there are not many players that can do that.
And him going north and south like that with the ball reminds me a little bit of LeBron. LeBron's more compact and maybe energetic, but there's nothing you can do to stop him. He can Eurostep you. He can dunk from the free throw line. He can pull up. There's nothing you can do to stop that guy in the open court.
He runs like a deer.
Yeah.
And when he's coming full speed down the floor, he crosses half court, yeah, and then it's like, all right, three glides, and he's under the rim.
That's it.
How?
That's it.
It'd take me 8 steps or 9. It'd take you 12. He's there in 2.
It would take me 12 minutes. We got to wrap this up, Sam.
Oh, man.
What else you want to tell us? Say something smart on the radio.
Say something smart.
Give me something that I can take away. NBA, hockey, football, basketball, pickleball, whatever you want to
Pete learn. Won't like this because Pete is a Red Raider. But Pete's former coach, Chris Beard, has a very good basketball team right now at the University of Texas. I think they're going to make a Final Four run this year.
Wow, that's the surprise team. That's the early one to watch.
Yep, that's the one to watch.
So 128, if we want to watch and follow you, how do we do that, Sam?
Just don't follow me home, but you can follow me on Twitter at SPShoot, and our website is Nesson, NESN.com.
Sam Panionovich did sports here for a while and was a regular on my Saturday show. He's in town for the Bears game and wasn't to win, but he said it was fun, and that's the way it's going to be for a while. Nice to see you, Sam.
Always a pleasure, buddy.